All right, greetings. Welcome in. Better's Last Stand, show number 93, coming to you from very chaotic Wheeling, West Virginia, here on a hot July day. It's absolute madness outside right now. There's traffic lights out everywhere across town for electrical lines that they're repairing. There doesn't look to be any work being done. I don't see any workers. I only see people with the flags. So that's all shut down. So already traffic is very slow moving. Then there was an accident out on Route 2, which derailed traffic going north and south on Route 2 as you head towards Warwood. So it's absolute madness out there, and the storm's rolling in right now. So there's no internet. There's stuff down here at the studio's not working all the way correctly either. So, yeah, great, great day. Just a beautiful day to be in Wheeling. Just wouldn't have it any other way. If you can pick anywhere else in the world to live but here, you'd probably be okay. But we got things to talk about here today. We're going to try to make the best of it. Hopefully we got enough internet to have Sam on here in the third part of the show. Again, episode 93 brought to you by the Brownie House. Yes, brownies.com. Get over there today. Get your 20% off using promo code PINEROOM. We were up about 5 units last week, about 4.5 units to be exact. That wasn't counting the golf, but in golf we did have 9 of 15 guys make the cut. Didn't have any winners, but we had a few guys sniffing around. Russell Henley, we had him in a top 5. That was a good one. Adam Scott was a top 10. Jason Day, top 13. Dean Burmeister finished tied for 19th. Colin Morikawa tied for 16th. So all those guys cashed for top 20s, a couple of them for top 10s and top 5. So not completely terrible, but not great. Again, 9-6 with our plays that made the cut. Didn't have the winners. Xander Schauffele pulls away. He's the real deal now. And right now, I would say, if you had to pick golfer of the year, you got to give it to Xander Schauffele. He's won 2 majors. Scottie Scheffler's only won 1. So I'll be going with Xander. And right now, I'll tell you what, Scheffler, to me, looks like a guy who obviously has distractions in his life. He's not as a child, which I always say, wife and child usually turns a guy's game south in a hurry. But more concerning to me is he really is only seemingly winning tournaments on really easy courses. And the weather, Royal Troon was not good. And that's a course that played at 20 under when Henrik Stenson won it a few years ago because there was no wind and there was no rain. Well, this year there was wind and rain, Friday and Saturday especially, some on Thursday, but tons of it on Friday and Saturday. And, you know, Scheffler's okay. Like, he's okay, but he... It was the same thing in the U.S. Open. When the courses are really, really hard, he's not at his best, which, you know, that I understand that. That's not a criticism of him. But I don't think we can go as far to say it doesn't matter what the course is and he's just going to crush everybody, because most of these big, giant wins where he's dominating from start to finish are on very, very gettable courses and very easy courses. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Olympic golf this week. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a couple of minutes. Recapping a few other of our winners from last week. IndyCar, we got 3 in a row. Sam and I both had 1 last week at Iowa. Well, this week we had Colton Herta get in the, not really victory lane for them, but they onto the podium for the IndyCar guys. Colton Herta, I almost said Brian Herta, his dad, 11-1. So a good win there. And we had Scott Dixon. He was our other choice. Those were my 2 winners, my 2 picks. We finished 1st and 3rd. Dixon plus 265. Herta at 11-1. We'll take that any day of the week. NASCAR, Bell and Reddick both with top 5s for me there. Piastri with the top 3. Didn't play him to win, though. Damn. Would have been a nice winner there. AFL was 5-6. Back to the usual, right around 500. CFL 1-3. Not a good performance there. Sunday's game, so frustrating. Just, I wouldn't call it a bad beat. It was just idiotic behavior, just stupidity. Just a more reason why I don't like football. And the Canadian football product's a lot better than the NFL, but even it is very frustrating. We had that game over on Sunday night, and we just couldn't get it there. There were so many opportunities. Just didn't happen. Sam had Graham Rahal top 10 in the IndyCars. Tyler Reddick top 5 in NASCAR, and he nearly missed a nice pick. Carson Hochever with a top 10. He finished 12th at the Brickyard. So, and he had the right team but the wrong driver in F1. So he was on McLaren. Went with Lando instead of Piastri, and Lando come up a little bit short, but McLaren double podium finish, another great, great performance for them. And Max Verstappen goes 3 straight races without winning. That is just unthinkable. If you had told me that a couple years ago, you would have never got me to agree that that could even be possible. But it's good to see some balance out there coming into things on the F1 side of the gauntlet. All right, baseball talk here. Skeens pitched last night. He got beat, but it really wasn't his fault. Pirate bats are just so damn bad. And, you know, I'm really getting sick of this narrative out there from media and even just people that I thought were a little bit less homers, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's just wishful thinking. But the Pirate talk is just annoying me to no end. Skeens is awesome. I like him a ton. I think he's an absolutely great guy and going to be the best pitcher in baseball for the extended period of time. So long as he doesn't get hurt. And the problem is he won't be doing it in Pittsburgh for much longer. You're going to see him for maybe 3 years more tops, and that'll be it. That's the very maximum you're going to get out of it. And if you don't win a championship in that time period, it was a failure. And that's what they're heading towards. But people, man, on the radio out of Pittsburgh, all these writers who are supposed to be neutral, they are Pirate apologists. It's pathetic. It's embarrassing. And you got to be honest. You got to be honest about what you're seeing here. This is a Bob Nutting team managed by Derek Shelton. It's the chances of winning are very slim. I mean, they really are. I don't think they're going to go out and get anybody that's going to make a difference in their lineup, which they absolutely need to do. They're not going to part with prospects, which make no sense to me because your only chance of winning is in this 2 to 3 year period of time. You could say, oh, we're a little early. We're going to wait till. Well, but you're not going to do it again next year either. You're never going to do it. And there's no guarantee the Skeens' elbow will hold up. So every single time you have that guy at full health is a chance that you can win. If you can get into the playoffs, you need more than just getting in. You got to have some guys that can get hits in the postseason. If you're not going to go out and acquire them and trade these prospects that aren't going to be along for 5 years, in 5 years from now, it's going to be another cycle of them being terrible. I can promise you that. Right now, their pitching is holding them above water. Their lineup is pitiful, just pitiful. I struggle to find more than two everyday players in their entire lineup. It's a really, really bad lineup. It's a bad roster, really bad roster. Pitching staff has been pretty good. You got to move players. And if you got to do a baseball trade, a guy, an active guy for another one, a guy that you need to fill a hole on your team that you have ample of, get rid of somebody. Do something to try to make a run here. You're not, but it's not going to happen. The thing about it is everyone's saying out there in the media, oh, this is going to happen. The Pirates are going to get this guy. They're going to get that guy. They're only one guy away. They're not. They're like six guys away, and they're not even going to try to get him. If they do, it's going to be a token try, and they're going to tell all their stupid fans, we didn't want to compromise the future by trading too much. That's a stupid, stupid thing. We've been telling you that for 15 years, and you keep falling for it. So don't be one of those dumb Pirate fans. Just don't. I get it. Root for the team. Root for Skeens. Cross your fingers. Cross your toes, whatever you got to do. Pray. I'm anything's on the table. But don't for a second believe that Bob Nutting and Derek Shelton are all of a sudden going to figure things out. Nutting's not opening up his wallet. Sherrington and Shelton aren't going to all of a sudden turn these players, these guys, into fucking great MLB all-stars all of a sudden. It's just not going to happen. So just taper your expectations because you're going to get your heart broken, and if you got to be smarter than that. You can't fall into this. So many people out there, even on our show, WKKX Watchdog, Monday, Tuesday, Friday. Don't miss it, 12 to 3 Monday, or Tuesday and Friday, 2 to 3 on Monday. All the guys on our Pine Room group are they're drinking the Pirate Kool-Aid in gallons because they're all in. This is wow, what a team. I feel something different. Something's in the air, Jubb said. Like, I mean, I get it. You want to feel that way, but I'm telling you right now, that's not the case. This is a bad team. They won a game 2-1, and they lost the game 2-1 to the Cardinals the last 2 days. Now, they did win today, the afternoon game, and they won 2-3, so that's fine. But there are so many holes in this team and so many deficiencies, and Shelton's managing, which was part of the issue last night when Skeens got beat. It's just remarkable to me how bad they are. Bases loaded a couple times, can't get a key hit, can't even manufacture a run. This team will not win, and it's sad. But I told you so. Don't be one of those people. But baseball, getting into the second half of the season, it's actually more than the second half. It's far, far into the second half of the season. I have no internet right now, so that's not good. I was going to pull up a couple of live action odds right here. But just talking about some teams that may be contenders, some teams that could be buyers, some teams that could be sellers. I think it's it's getting down to the point where you may have a couple of added sellers. Washington could be a seller now. They've kind of hit the skids a tad. You know, they're a team that I thought would outperform, and they did for much of the season, but they're kind of up against it right now. They're falling further out of contention. Now, obviously, the Marlins are going to be sellers, so they're going to have some garbage that people can recycle. But in the Central Division right now, the Brewers minus 475 to win that division. Cardinals at $5. Pirates at 25-1. Now, Chris said on the radio yesterday he thinks the Pirates could contend for that division at 25-1. If you think so, which I can't say that's a completely ridiculous comment. Now, I think the Pirates are not as good as he thinks they are, but Milwaukee is showing that they're not very good. They kind of played above themselves for most of the season. St. Louis is just average at best. For the Pirates to be 25-1 and the Cardinals to be 5-1, that is off, because the Pirates are very equal to, if not better than, the Cardinals, but that doesn't say anything. The Cubs at 45-1, the Reds at 45-1. I mean, this is a bad division. Probably the best, or the worst division in baseball, that the National League Central. So I don't really have a play there. I can't back you off a Pirate ticket for a few bucks at 25-1. Dodgers should win the West pretty easily. Padres at 20-1. D-backs 35. Giants 150. Colorado at 50-1. That's got absolutely 0% chance of that. But moving on to some of the other markets, the American League East, right now, Yankees and Orioles are minus 110 each way. It's just ridiculous. The Yankees are absolutely awful. They have two players on the team. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say that, but that will happen. But Baltimore has major problems, so I'm not being a Baltimore homer here. Baltimore has extremely serious issues in their rotation. They have basically 1.5 pitchers. Grayson Rodriguez is still very young. They got Corbin Burns, and the rest of their rotation is a disaster. They're bringing up some younger guys now to try, because it has been an absolute mess for the last couple of weeks with them. They're getting nothing out of the 3, 4, 5 in their rotation, and it has been ugly. Bullpen is a problem. Orioles got to make some moves here. They're another team. They've got to go all in. They cannot keep waiting for next year. They have the tools. They have the lineup and the personnel to be able to make a run. They just need a couple more arms. They need at minimum another starter and a bullpen arm, and they probably need two starters and a bullpen arm. So we'll see what happens, what they do, but they're still far better than the Yankees. It's really not even close how much better they are than New York. New York has two players. They have two players, and that's what I'll say till the end of the season. Going back to the NL East, Phillies $9 to win it now. Ozzie Albies now out for almost the season for the Braves, so they're absolutely decimated. The fraudulent New York grimaces, they're of no threat. They stink. Now, they did beat the Yankees last night, but they're probably better than the Yankees. The terrible Mets, the lowly, worthless Mets, who should be sellers but won't at the deadline. They should move Pete Alonso, but they won't. They're going to pretend like they have a chance. They have absolutely no chance. And then you got the Nats and the Marlins bringing up the rear there. Back to the AL East, Tampa Bay's out of it. Boston, to me, is an intriguing team. If they decide to make any moves, which they probably won't, but if they were to add a rental piece here or there, probably maybe a bat and one more arm, then I think they're a contender to not only make the playoffs, as I gave out a few weeks ago, to potentially track these two down in the division, because Baltimore and New York both have serious problems in different parts of their team. So Boston, to me, well-managed, very stable. Now, their pitching looked a little iffy coming back off the All-Star break, so we'll see if they can get that corrected. But Red Sox still a playoff team to me for sure. American League Central, boy, my Royals ticket that we had way, way back, maybe it's starting to come alive again. Cleveland just 179 to win that division, followed by Minnesota at 255, and the Royals at about $5.50. Cleveland has not played well since really the last week before the All-Star break and then coming out, so see if maybe the Royals can track them down. I have no faith in the Twins. They're a total fraud. So still think Cleveland's okay. I think they'll be stabilized, but don't count Kansas City out. They're a team that's supposedly going to be active. And if they can make a quick early move and get maybe one bat, they're then a legitimate contender in the American League. So keep an eye on the Royals out in the American League. American League West, Houston minus 120 right now. That's going to be a lock, stock, and barrel one right there. Seattle's just got no hitting. Texas is just kind of sputtering right now. The Angels and A's, of course, no threat at all. So I would imagine the Astros, who have gotten beat twice in a row by the A's, so I guess you never say never, but probably going to be a situation where the Astros are just the best of the rest, and they just get into the playoffs and win that division just because they're just better than the rest of the teams. Right now, a few teams worth a shot to make the playoffs. Pirates at 4-1, so that's an interesting number to me. The odds makers and power raters, and I agree with this 100%, are not sold on the Pirates. National media is just can't get enough of the Pirates. Local media and regional media outrageously blind to the Pirates and how bad they really are. The schemes factor is blinding all these people, but the odds makers got it right here. 4-1, so you bet $100, you win $400 if the Pirates make the playoffs. 4-1 right there, that seems like a price people would be jumping on. I would say don't do it. I don't trust them. Their schedule is a little more difficult, although they do play pretty good against the better teams. Moving on down through, Tigers at 7.5-1 to make it. I mean, if they could hit a little bit, then maybe they could. The Mets plus 120, don't like them, but that's not a terrible price. San Diego plus 105, I think they could end up being a playoff team. Yes, to make the playoffs for them, plus 105. That'd be a small lean for me. I still think Atlanta, no, to make the playoffs. Now that Albies is out, they're $6. I mean, Atlanta's pitching has been really bad other than Chris Sale, and their hitting now takes another hit, so literally another hit. Maybe a play on them. Cardinals plus 110 to make the playoffs, 130 to miss it. Don't feel strong enough about them at all. They're just not a very good team. Texas at plus 390. That might be worth a look. Yes, make the playoffs. You got to figure they're a veteran team. They obviously got really hot at the end of the last year. I think plus 390 for them is kind of a steal and could be a good one. Royals minus 125 to make it. I think they'll be a playoff team for sure. The Giants, who came back out of the All-Star break, not very good. They're 6-1 now to make the playoffs. It's a little bit up from what we gave out on them a couple of weeks ago. I still think that they are better than the Pirates and a lot of those teams in the National League, but we shall see. And then Boston, plus 145. They were plus 105 a week ago. I would recommend getting on that one. Boston is solid. They just inked Cora to an extension. They could be contenders for some guys. They have money to spend. So I think Boston's a little lively to make a – make a little bit of noise there. Seattle, B-Max Mariners, plus 110 to make the playoffs. Probably will be a playoff team, but, man, they really got to get some hitting here. They got guys hurt, and, they got their DFA, and guys are trying anything they can do to spark this lineup. And I'd like to see them get it done, but I'm not sure they can. Twins, minus 330 now, yes, to make the playoffs for the Twins. They'll probably make it, but they're a fraud, and they'll probably get matched up with New York or somebody in the first round and lose like they always do. So anyway, those are my MLB outlooks for the coming days as we get down to the very end of July. So it's hard to imagine that we're here and you got some pretenders and you got some contenders, and there's not a whole lot of contenders out there. So we got a week until the trade deadline, and a lot of things could change come that time. So we'll address them as they arise here on Better's Last Stand. Moving over to golf now. Again, Xander pulls away in the Open. Great performance by him on Sunday. 3M Open, pretty weak field. Tony Finau, the favorite at 10-1. Just can't play him. Now, he'll probably win because he was terrible last week. We had him. I mean, he was safely inside the cut line and had like a quad bogey on a hole late on Friday to sink his chances. So, the 3M Open, this is not a great tournament, but I took a stab with a couple of guys here. Most notably, Ash K. Bhatia, had him last week, did not perform well. I think he bounces back as a much easier course in Blaine, Minnesota, TPC Twin Cities. So we're going to go with Bhatia as our top choice this week. He is at 23-1. Then Eric Van Rooyen, 42-1 on him. You can probably find him anywhere from 40-50-1. So those are going to be my top two, followed by Keith Mitchell. He's a regular. We use him quite a bit. Like his game, can't putt worth a shit, but these greens could lend themselves to some makeable putts for him. And then a couple of other ones. Jeff Seeley, the good golf handicapper, gave these ones out as well. Maverick McNeely 47-1. Bryce Garnett was his big bomber at about 260, 300-1 range. Can find him. And then Ben Griffin at 47-1. I liked all those plays as well, and he played them too. So that made me willing to throw a little bit on those ones. So again, we're going with Batia and Van Rooyen, followed by Mitchell, Garnett, Griffin, and McNeely at the TPC Twin Cities up there in Minnesota 3M Open. All right, over to golf in France for the Olympics. And this is an interesting one. You figure all these guys are going to come here, and they're all going to be dialed in, ready to go, playing good golf. I don't know if that's going to be the case. And also found it weird, too. Like, Erik van Rooyen, check him in the 3M Open because he was listed on the Olympic golf, too. But I thought that I read that he was not playing in the Olympic golf. Going back to it, Xander Schauffele is obviously going to be a major contender here. He's won the gold medal before in the Olympics, which makes him a guy that's, you know, going to know what to expect here, and he's going to be an extreme contender. Scottie Scheffler, and Xander's around 5-1 or so. Scheffler is around 3.5-1. Now, this national, Golf National in Paris, they played Ryder Cup here before. It was a little tricky of a course. I don't think it's going to play super easy. So I'm not sure Scheffler will be the guy to bank on. It's a little short of a price. So I thought maybe Colin Morikawa from the United States was worth maybe a little bit of a look. But I don't have a great feeling about any of these guys. I thought maybe Abraham Answer at 55-1 could be worth a look. And maybe Alex Noren at 37-1. But this is tricky. You just never know how these guys are going to come out and play with Olympic medal on the line. It's a little bit different strategy. You're not playing for money. There probably is a more strategic approach to it. And, you know, who can get hot with the putter at the right time and things like that. John Rahm is participating in it, Victor Hovland. So you got a lot of pretty good players here. You know, Sepp Straka, Minwoo Lee, who we had last week. Shane Lowry will be in here. You got a quality field. Matsuyama from Japan, he could be another guy to keep an eye on if going into the weekend. But they start this out on Thursday, play through Sunday just like a regular tournament. And medal, the gold, silver, and bronze. So no official plays, just some leans there. I may put up a couple BLS_PRP. I got to check the weather out there and be sure that I have accounted for all the players that are actually in this field and not just listed on the futures sheet. So that concludes golf for the week. And again, anything you want to see from us, anything that we give out on the show, or we give out before you can see the show or after, BLS_PRP on X is where you want to find it. Get on over there right now. You can also go to pineroomstudios.com, find all the things to our various content, shows, blogs, links to the store, all kinds of other stuff on there. Be sure and check all of that out as we go into the summer, deep into the summer. And then Olympics, I had a couple of notes here on Olympics, just the outrights on some of these things. And you know, it's I just wish I had more time. I wish I didn't have so much stuff going on between my job, my life, my Pine Room obligations. It's just it doesn't give me the time that I really wish that I had to look into some of this stuff a little bit deeper, but there is value out there. Olympic basketball, I think obviously everybody will be interested in that. USA -590, just ridiculous. They barely beat South Sudan, who's barely been a country for more than a decade, and then they barely beat Germany the other day. Now I think what will probably happen is they're going to get lucky and still make it through this tournament and probably still win the gold. But I won't be rooting for them. That bum LeBron's carrying the flag. He's a disgrace. He sits during the national anthem, but we're going to have him carry the flag. Great, great choice there by the U.S. Olympic Committee. But let's not get distracted from the task at hand, and that is figuring out who's going to beat this team in a tournament format. And I thought that probably the most likely is going to be France. They have good bigs, and that will give the USA problems. So France around 13-14-1, I think, is a great bet. Canada, guards are solid, but that's about all. Greece is okay. Australia is okay. Serbia, you know, they got probably the best player in the world, but not enough. You know, Greece will be good too with Giannis. But I felt France to me as the most likely winner of this tournament But the USA can lose some games here, so don't be quick to lay the points with them. Let's see how this starts out and what goes on. I think it starts pretty quickly. I think the final's like August 10th, but yeah, so keep an eye on USA. They should be over there in France right now after squeaking out a lucky win against Germany and South Sudan, where they didn't come close to covering either game. And then the U.S. women probably have formality that they'll win. Women's competition just not good enough. France, a second choice. Spain, third choice. I don't think any of them can contend. Australia right around there as well. But as much as I hate to say it, USA women will probably win that tournament. So be a little bit more likely to play the women minus the spreads and stuff, especially against some of these smaller nations, Nigeria and places like that, Serbia, Puerto Rico. Probably going to be, if they play those teams, they're probably going to absolutely hammer them, despite getting beat by the WNBA All-Stars, which was not a surprise at all because those teams are not really even, if you ask me. The WNBA team probably has some, at least three or four girls that should be on Team USA and the old girls that stole their spots, but I guess they'll have their time. That's what everybody says, but there's no guarantee. You could get hit by a train tomorrow. So time is relative. It just matters. Some of us have it, some of us won't. Some of us will have less of it, and some of us will have a lot of it. Basketball 3-on-3 competition, USA the favorite in women's. I think they're pretty good. Canada's okay. I thought France was worth it, worth a tiny little peek, even Australia. So I think that's a good four-horse race there. Australia, USA, Canada, and France all pretty moderately priced with a chance to win it. In the men's side of things, Serbia is probably the team to beat. They really play. I don't know what it is about the Serbs, but they look great in 3-on-3. They just look so organized. Strategically, they just know what they're doing. So thought France worth a shot. Thought Lithuania 9-1 might be worth a look here against, probably not to win it, but maybe to medal. So take a look at Lithuania around 8.5, 9-1. France at +350, USA at +175. They're the second choice. But I thought Lithuania and even Latvia performed pretty well at this last time as well. They have some big bodies usually, and they can cause some problems on the block, and they also have the guys that could step out and shoot the ball. So Latvia and Lithuania, two teams from a little bit bigger price perspective, but USA and Serbia expected to be the top contenders, and the Serbs will be tough, so no question about that one. But I'll have more Olympic plays, BLS_PRP, handball, and probably some volleyball, some water polo. I'll go through a lot of that. I've been studying up on that stuff right now. Not prepared quite yet to make the picks. I want to see how some of these markets are priced and some of these first games are priced before I dive in too hard. So we're going to take a break here on Bettors Last Stand, show 93. We're going to come back, going to hit on some NFL. Oh boy, everybody's favorite. We're going to talk AFC and NFC South divisions here. We talked about some of the stuff on the radio if you missed it, but we're going to go into it and give you some of my best bets from the AFC and NFC South, as well as some CFL and Aussie rules. It's an all-football portion of the program coming up after the break on Bettors Last Stand. We'll be right back.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettors Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Bettors Last Stand, show 93. Coming to you from ridiculously chaotic downtown Wheeling here on a hot, hot July day when people can't even use their air conditioners because the power's out everywhere for the most part. But the power's not out here, fortunately, knock on wood. So we'll go as far as we can go under the current circumstances. All right, let's get over to NFL in a moment, but let's remind you of a few things. If you had golfers, talk about a few bad beats. If you had golfers that were trying to make the cut late on Friday, or guys that made the cut and were trying to make a little move on Saturday, and you ran into the wind and the rain, it was quite bad. Quite enjoyable, though, for some. But yeah, you had guys just completely imploding on the back nine out there at Royal Troon. So if you had that, sympathies to you. You had guys well within the cut line who end up way, way on the wrong side of the cut line, all after a couple of holes. So golf can be a rough game. So can baseball and all the other sports. So keep your head up, and we'll continue to try to move on. Onward and upward, and we'll persevere. A couple things going on in the industry. Jaguars are suing the ex-employee who stole $22 million from them and used most of that money to gamble. So they're suing him. I don't know what they're getting out of him. If he was stealing the money, he probably didn't have the money. DraftKings announces a partnership with the WNBA that will be the official sports betting and DFS partner of the league. So good stuff there. WNBA seeing all kinds of new things, new endeavors and ventures that they never would have seen before if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark. Gotta love that. All right, college football. Well, I know everybody's excited about that. Oh, God. It's really, really hard to even know who's on these teams. But here's some line moves that might be interesting to you for games of the year. These are games posted at many books across the country and across the world. Some number moves that may interest you. You may want to jump on with the number or go against if you like the other side. BYU opened a 16-point dog against SMU. That's now down to 14. Washington State was a 13-point opening dog to Washington as they keep the rivalry going despite not being in the same league. That is down to 10 points, so 13 from 10. This one a close to home interest. Pitt plus 8 against the Mountaineers, now down to plus 6. I would have leaned towards Pitt too, taking that 6 or 7, probably the 7 or the 8 if I could have got it. I think Pitt will be a little bit more even with West Virginia this year. Don't expect the Mountaineers to be as good as everybody thinks they're going to be. BYU opened a 21-point dog to Utah. Now they're down to 18, so some steam there on that rivalry game. Probably would not be interested in laying 18 with Utah at this point. And Arkansas plus 21 down to 18 against Texas. Interesting move there as well. Arkansas is always a wise guy team. Every single year I get suckered into it. Like, oh, Arkansas is playing good football there. They're ready to go, and then they get absolutely destroyed. So I would expect that to probably happen again. I'd probably lay the 18 with Texas in this scenario. But like I say, it's really hard to even know who the hell's on these teams. I guess you could play college football, the video game that just came out, and maybe you can learn the rosters a little bit better about who's good and who isn't, because this is really tough. It's free agency on steroids. And in NFL, you only have a few guys moving each year. I mean, that's a couple dozen maybe that are key impacts. And in this stuff, it's hundreds. So very tricky stuff. Watered down. Regular season is not going to mean anything with 12 teams making the playoffs. You're going to have 2 and 3 lost teams getting in. Ohio State would have to lose 4 games, I guarantee you. 4 games for them to not be considered for the playoffs. They probably would be a team with 3 losses that people would be pushing for. And that's not a knock on them. I knock on them enough, but that's just being honest. They could probably lose up to 4 games before they were actually eliminated from playoff contention. It's just ridiculous. C.J. Stroud, 10-1, speaking of Ohio State. 10-1, he has the most bets of any player to win NFL MVP, and that is at the 10-1 price. And also sticking with Ohio State plus 325 they are the top college team in handle and liability right now to win the college football playoff, other than Colorado, of course. So plus 325, Ohio State, way too short. And Ohio State should absolutely be the best team in the country this year. Quarterback, though, will still be a question. You're getting a guy that's transferring in from, I think, Kansas State, and he's not very good. So, but he is better than the guy they had last year, so I will give them that. But this team loaded, has NFL talent all over the field. Can't question it, but they got Chip Kelly, and they got a new quarterback who was not very good in a very bad Big 12. So that would be a concern to me if I'm a Buckeye fan, but I do think they are the best team in the country, top to bottom, although I will say Georgia with Carson Beck, who got a lot better as the season went on last year, they will be right there. And I believe I've heard Carson Beck is dating one of the Cavender sisters, so that's probably not a bad thing to have one of those girls' butts in your face all the time. So I think he's probably headed towards a Heisman Trophy if that's the case, although maybe there will just be a big distraction and he'll have a disastrous season. Anything's possible. Election real quick. Obviously, Biden is out now. Amazing. Bet365 opened Trump minus $2 favorite. Harris was plus $2. Since that opened, Trump down to minus 188, around 188, 190. Harris plus 140. Obviously, that's probably factoring in the fact that they'll probably cheat again. So, man, I wish we had this to offer here. It would be incredibly intriguing. But maybe someday. All right, let's get on to the NFL here before we get Sam in the next part of the program. AFC and NFC South will open up with the Houston Texans. Everybody's on the Texans this year. I was on them last year, if you remember that. Gave them out as an over. It was a cigar-smoking winner here on Better's Last Stand. Knew they were going to be better, and didn't expect them to be that good. I'd be lying if I said that. But 9.5 is the win total right now. I went through their schedule, looked at it, and thought they were a 9 or 10 win team. If they had some injuries, maybe an 8-win team. See, they're going to be circled on everyone's calendar now. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. So that would be a concern. I don't think this team will be bad at all. I'm not saying that. I just don't know if they'll be able to handle the expectations. Sometimes sophomore slumps are real, and Stroud could take a small step back or just, you know, have a couple hiccups. Not saying that he's bad or anything, because he's not. But I think they're right around their win total. So I'm not backing them to win a division or to go over the win total. I'm not saying they won't on either accord, but I just don't love them. Chris and Coach both gave them out as their division winners yesterday on the radio. So if you like those guys' picks, they both like Houston to win the division. Jacksonville, to me, is the team to beat in this division. I think they'll be a lot better. They had a poor season last year, lost a lot of tight games. Trevor Lawrence was not good. He was hurt a lot. His line was bad. I think they bounce back. 8.5 is their win total. I'll be going over the 8.5 with them. I think they'll win at least 9, probably 10. And if they win 10, they'll win the division. So I'm backing the Jags to win the division and win 9 or 10 games in the AFC South. Indy, that's a lot of people's pick to win this thing too. Chris very high on Indy. Cooley very high on Indy. Indy comes in at the 8.5 win total. They, to me, are a 6-win team, maybe a 7, and I can't get to 8, so that to me is an absolute slam dunk under. So we're going under with the Colts. I'm not an Anthony Richardson guy. The guy cannot pass. He's another version of Justin Fields. Tremendous athlete. He will get hurt. He will turn the ball over. Yes, he will look good in fantasy from a week-to-week standpoint, but then he'll have an awful 4-interception game, 2 fumbles, and get stretchered off. So be ready for it. It will happen. So I'm not backing Indy at all. I don't like their coach. I don't like their quarterback. I think they're very average, and that's right around where they'll be, 6, 7, 8 wins for them. Tennessee, no real play on them. Total 6.5 win total. I can see them winning 7 games. I don't think they're as bad as everybody thinks they are. Just have to kind of revamp. They have a different quarterback, different coach, and Derrick Henry is gone. So those are obvious question marks. I mean, when you lose stuff like that all at one time, it can be pretty tricky. The South, just looking at some of the schedules, I mean, they play the, I believe they play the NFC East. Is that right? Yeah, they got Dallas. No, I don't see. That must just be like a one-off then for Houston, because I thought they played the NFC East, but I guess they don't. They must play the NFC North. So they got Minnesota, Green Bay, and then they have Detroit and Chicago. Chicago should be a game they would win. They probably split there. Jacksonville, same situation. I like their schedule. I didn't think it was too bad, and I think they're due to bounce back from what they were into last year. So Jacksonville and Houston, probably the teams to beat in the division. I will be going with the Jags, though, on top. I think they're just slightly better than Houston, and they'll probably benefit from winning a few of the games that they lost last year, and Houston will probably have the reverse effect. So moving over to the NFC South as we continue on here, Benner's Last Stand, talking about some of our best bets for the NFL season, going division by division right here. Let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. They bring in Kirk Cousins, new coaching staff. How's this going to turn out? Raheem Morris, he was not good in Tampa as a head coach. That would be a concern to me. He just doesn't seem like he really gets it. I thought their schedule to start out was pretty tricky with the Steelers, the Eagles, and the Chiefs. I don't love this team at all. Do I think they'll be a little better with Kirk Cousins as a quarterback? Absolutely. But 9.5, getting to 10 wins, not going to happen in my opinion. So I will go under where win total. That's a lean. That's not a strong play. We'll go under the 9.5, slight lean. 7-10 wins range for them, in my opinion. Probably more likely an 8-win team. So that would be safely under there. To me, they only had a few games on their schedule. I think they'll beat New Orleans probably at least once. Probably beat Carolina 2 times, but I'm not certain Carolina will be that bad. Denver will be a victory for sure. And then they got tough games at Washington, at Minnesota. I mean, that's not a guarantee. They do get the Giants at home. That's a winnable game. Cousins upgrades them a lot, so you got to figure they're going to win at least 8 games, and that's doable. So small lean to the under for the Falcons, but I think they will be improved. Tampa, 8.5 is their win total. I think they'll win at least 9 games. I know everybody's saying they'll be the team to take a backslide, but I feel like they're a little more seasoned. I think Todd Bowles, for the way that he started, and he's kind of stabilized his operation here to the point where I don't want to say I trust him, but I don't have the concern that I once had for him. I think they can start out the season 2-1. They got Washington and Denver at home. I mean, those are two winnable games. They go to Detroit, a team they played very tough. And then they got Philly, but then they got Atlanta and New Orleans. So they have some winnable games early in the season. I like Tampa. They got Mike Evans back. They got a pretty good offense. Mayfield, if he stays healthy, will be okay. And their defense is solid. So Tampa is the team, to me, who is the most likely to win this division. But can't guarantee it. I think there will be some shockers in this division because I don't think it's very good. Moving on to New Orleans now. Under 7.5 is my bet with them. I think this is one of my best bets of the year, under 7.5. I think New Orleans is trash. I think they'll win 5 games tops. Dennis Allen will probably be fired by the end of the season. But Carolina week 1, I'm calling my shot right now. Carolina may win this game. I think I'll be taking them plus the 5, that's for sure. But I may go with an outright win here. I think Carolina will be much improved and can be very dangerous in this spot for them. And then they play Dallas, Philly, Atlanta, Kansas City, Tampa, and they won't be favored again until they play Denver in week 6 or week 7. So to me, a lot of losses on the schedule for New Orleans. I think they're terrible, and I expect them to finish bottom of the NFC South. And then we get to Carolina, and I know this is going to surprise people, and people will say I'm an idiot, and I am an idiot, but I think Carolina is going to be a surprise team. Will they be great? No. Will they be improved? Absolutely. Their win total is 4.5. I think they absolutely could win 9 games here going through their schedule. I had 9 winnable games for them. I know people were saying, you're crazy. That's okay. People said the same thing about Houston last year. Carolina, to me, cannot be any worse than they were last year. I thought their defense was a little bit underrated. They hung in some games. Their offense was just absolutely pitiful. Can Bryce Young be better? I can't imagine that he could be any worse. So I think he improves. They changed up some stuff in their offense. Canales, he knows it's do or die right now. I mean, he's coming in inheriting a disaster. So what can he do? We'll see. I think Carolina takes a big step up, and I think coming out of the gate, they play New Orleans, winnable game. Chargers, that'll be tough. They'll lose that game. They play at Vegas. They can win that game. They play Cincinnati at home. They can absolutely win that game. They play at Chicago. They can win that game. They play home against Atlanta. They can win that game. They go to Washington and Denver back-to-back weeks. Both games winnable. So even if they're splitting wins in these games that I just went through, and then New Orleans and the Giants until their bye week, they conceivably could win almost every one of those games for the exception of the Chargers that I would say. Now, they'll be underdogs in them until the lines adjust, but I'm telling you, Carolina's schedule coming out of the chute is very favorable, so do not sleep on them. I know they weren't very good last year, and people always want to go off what they remember from last year, but you remember, I don't know the exact years on this, but many, many, many years in a row, there's been a last to first in the NFL, and it just continues to happen every single year, so will this be the one? I don't know. But I will tell you, Carolina will be improved. And I think they're over their win total of 4.5 is an absolute slam dunk. They will win at the minimum 5. And I still think they can win 9 games with this really, really bad front end of their schedule. And they get a little bit of momentum. And then it doesn't seem so tall having to take Dallas and Tampa and Arizona and Tampa and Atlanta. That's how they close. Like those games, those teams are not all great. So For the exception of the Eagles, the Chiefs, and then the Chargers, who are, you know, a new operation themselves, every other team on their schedule is a vulnerable team who will be a dressed-up favorite with a bad coach or injury bug could get them. So I think Carolina, to me, is an absolute slam dunk to win over five games, and I think they are a contender in the NFC South. So that'll do it for the NFL breakdowns for this week. Next week, I'm not sure what divisions we'll do. We'll do either the NFC and AFC West will probably be where we go next week. So we look forward to that one as the NFL season fastly approaches us. A couple more things. Hall of Fame game coming up next Thursday. Bears and Texans, total 33. Bears minus 1.5. I don't understand the Bears being favored in this game. I don't really know what you base that off of. I would lean Houston here just a little bit. They're going to have a much more buttoned-up operation with a better coach, some confidence in their dressing room. The Bears, to me, they'll have excitement, but I don't know. I still am a little leery about the Bears. I know a lot of people love their talent, and that's for sure, but none of those guys will play here. Probably your best bet is to go under the 33. I think that's probably a pretty good play right now. It'll probably continue to drop, so you won't want to bet that early under the 33. All right, on to CFL, a couple games here, there. We did not do well in this last week, but we'll try it again. Montreal on Thursday laying 1.5. You won't get that game anyway, so it won't matter, but we'll go with the Alouettes hosting the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We'll go minus the 1.5. Friday night, 7:30, kickoff, Calgary at Ottawa. We're going to go with the Stampeders, minus 1 on the road and under the 51.5. That is Calgary and Ottawa. Under in Calgary on Friday night. Saturday's game, Toronto hosting Winnipeg. It'll be the Blue Bombers at the Argos. Argos, a pick here. So small lean to Winnipeg with the money line so far in this one as the betting has been opened up since Monday morning. But I'm going to go with Toronto. I think they win the game straight up. Winnipeg looks old and tired, and they're just not very good so far from what I've seen. So we're going to go with Toronto on the pick. Maybe they'll be minus 1 at the time. Either way, they're playable. And we're going to go over 49.5. Winnipeg can turn the ball over, which could lead to some short fields for Toronto. So we're going Toronto and over on Saturday night. And then Sunday night, CBS Sports, 7 o'clock, Hamilton at Edmonton. Edmonton's got to get in the win column this time. If they don't here, they may never win. We'll go the Elks minus the 3. We had them a couple weeks ago. They started out great and then faltered in front of the home crowd. So we'll go with the Elks. So again, we're going with Montreal minus the points, Calgary minus the points and under on Friday, and then Saturday, Toronto minus the points or plus the points. That's around a pick right now. And over 49.5, and then Edmonton minus the points on Sunday night. AFL getting down to the end. We only got 5 weeks left. Teams are going all out to try to make the finals, and got another great, great round of action here. Port Adelaide and Carrollton. We'll go with them. Carrollton, as in Carrollton, Ohio. Ace said he was in Carrollton today, so that made me think of that. Port Adelaide and Carrollton. We're going to go over 181.5 in that one. Then we got Geelong at North Melbourne on Friday night. Geelong minus 24.5, total 173.5. We will go with the Geelong Cats minus the 24.5. We'll go over the 173.5. Early morning game on Saturday morning. Friday night, if you prefer, 2:35 a.m., Brisbane Lions and Gold Coast Suns. Brisbane comes in 11-6-1. They won again last week against Sydney. Great, great win. Could be a little bit of a letdown spot here, but Gold Coast, to me, is just so bad. Gold Coast, a little bit of sprinkle on Gold Coast. I would recommend trying it if you dare. But this is a spot where Brisbane could be really, really pumped about the way they played. They've won 7 in a row and beat the best team last week. They're playing really good. But I like the under 173.5 here. Essendon and St. Kilda also 2:35 a.m. on Saturday morning, Friday night. If you prefer, St. Kilda 7-11, Essendon 10-7-1. I'm going with Essendon minus the 3.5. They've been playing pretty poorly. St. Kilda's not very good, and they're coming off of a win. So we're going to go with Essendon and under the 160.5 on Saturday, 5:30 a.m. Starter be GWS taking on Melbourne, the Demons and the Giants. Nothing really on the play here. Giants minus a half right now. We're going to go over the 158.5, though, on Saturday morning. Also Saturday morning, West Coast, the Eagles at the Fremantle Dockers. Fremantle 11-6-1. West Coast continues to be horrible. We'll go with Frio. 37, a little too much delay there, so we'll go over 158.5 in that one. Richmond and Collingwood, the Magpies, they really need this win badly. They're just sputtering in the middle right now. They got to solidify their final spot. Richmond is a team to do it against. But 21.5, Collingwood, man, I can't lay that with them right now. They're just so bad right now on offense. Can't score enough to gap anybody. So we'll go over 169.5. I think it will get to the point where they're able to score enough but not be able to cover because Richmond has been scoring a little bit more than usual. So we'll go over 169.5 in that one. Two more to go, 1:20 a.m. on Saturday or Sunday morning, Saturday night. Sydney, the Swans off of a loss to Brisbane, they've lost, I think, 3 of 5 now, so that's a little concerning, playing their worst football at the time of the year where you want to be playing better. They're laying 13.5 here. I think they get it back on track against Western and win that game by more than 14 points. So that's Sydney minus 13.5. Hawthorn and Adelaide, going to go, this is a tough one here. Hawthorne's been playing really good football. Adelaide, I don't like at all. I would lean Hawthorne in this matchup, but not going to give an official play on that. We're going to go under the 164.5 in that contest. So again, recapping, it'll be Geelong and over, Brisbane and Gold Coast under the total, Essendon minus the points and under, GWS North Melbourne over, West Coast and Frio over, Richmond and Collingwood over, Sydney minus the 13, and Hawthorn and Adelaide under. That'll do it for round number 20 in the AFL. Sad to say, it's getting down to the end. We're going to take a break here on Bettor's Last Stand. We'll come back, talk a little racing. We only got one circuit operating right now. We got some Olympic breaks for Indy and NASCAR, but we got the Belgian Grand Prix, and we got lots to talk about with McLaren rolling right now. Red Bull nowhere to be found currently. So plenty to talk about with Sam, including some Paul Skeens and Bucko talk after the break. It's Bettor's Last Stand. Don't go anywhere.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettor's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in. Bettor's Last Stand, show 93. Sam joins me now from Upper St. Clair. We're parts unknown, whatever you prefer. Lots to talk about. Racing is kind of in a little quiet spot here. We got just one race this weekend with some circuits on Olympic break. We'll get into that in a moment, but first we got to start with the news of the day, the Buccos. Buccos get a win today, bounce back after a win or a bad loss last night, in my opinion. Again, Skeens outstanding, goes 8 1/3, can't get the job done, bases loaded, opportunities everywhere, they can't manufacture runs, Shelty's a mess. Sam, what are your feelings right now? Now, you've won 2 of 3 in both series coming out of the break, so that's good, but you can't leave games out there that you got to win, and that was one that got away from them last night.
Yeah, it definitely got away from them, and it shouldn't have. It obviously shouldn't have, but there was nothing was more evident that we need to bat them when Skeens goes 8 1/3, and we can't even get him more than a run.
Right.
It's not. We're not asking for a lot. We needed more than what we needed more than one run, and obviously needed more than two runs. That doesn't seem like I'm asking for a lot.
No.
It really doesn't, and it's just. Matt, we have till the 30th or 31st?
Yeah, 30. I think it's the 30th at 6 Eastern.
I mean, that's 6 days. If they can't get one more person days and they really believe that internally they will get better, I don't care if they miss the playoffs.
I know. That's the tough thing about it is, I mean, you got the media. Man, they are just going crazy over this team. Like, they're already finished product. And I tell you, I got to disagree. They've got to do something. Most teams need pitching. Pirates need hitting beyond belief. So maybe that'll work in their favor. There's not as many teams looking for bats as there are for arms. So will they part? I just don't understand them not giving up a prospect that will be ready in 4 years when the window is now. As long as Skeens is here, that's the only window they're ever going to have.
Yeah, I don't understand, because, you know, I heard something yesterday, I believe, that said that front office might be viewing 2024 as an extra year. Oh, you know, geez. Like, it came too early. The right. good, the winning
I
came
knew they
too
would
early.
Say that. I knew
and
it.
Oviedo, you know, they'll get Oviedo next year, and they'll get Andy back, and everybody will be here. Well, I don't care. We're not in 2025. We're
Correct.
In 2024.
Yeah.
So we should probably get a bat, because we have the rotation that we've been wanting
right.
forever. It's there are actual players that you could plug in that we can get rid of that we don't use
right.
to get something in return. It's just – it's becoming – it's driving me nuts.
Yes, in the worst way that these teams go about it, the good teams, the teams who have won in recent years, they've not been the team that says, oh, we're going to wait till next year. We're a year early. They got to go all in when things are clicking. Right now, the Pirates have arguably the best starting rotation in baseball. Close. I mean, if not, they're pretty close. Nobody can tell me there's somebody out there that has five equal starters to them with the Skeens on top. So right there, you have a major advantage. You have teams who are struggling. The Dodgers are desperate for a pitcher in the National League. And the Phillies are very good, but you just took two or three of them, and your best pitchers didn't pitch. So if not now, when? Why wait till next year when Skeens' elbow could go kaput and blow up? You don't know. Go now. You have a chance to get in here right now in a National League that's winnable for them.
I know, and it's like these other teams, like, they're going to spend money if they don't get in. The Cubs will spend money. The Reds will spend money. Right. The Brewers will spend money. We're the only ones that do not spend money, and we're still there. Yep. You know, it's like everybody has this feeling like they're all looking at each other like we're on this boat. Like, dude, if we hit one more fucking thing, we're going to sink.
Right.
And if we do the right thing, we're not going to sink.
No.
And everybody knows it, but a small little group that's not making a move.
Yeah, it's a concern. I'll be surprised if we're not right, you and I, and being realistic in it, the fact that they will blow this opportunity and say, well, we're going to go all in next year. They just say that too often. And for the poor fans that continue to believe this shit, shame on them now, because you can't keep believing these guys. They just lied to you. It's sick.
I know. And that crowd last night, Matt, for a Tuesday crowd, that was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, the place was pretty packed.
Yeah. No, I know, and it should be, but I don't know. I just have a feeling that everybody's going to get let down like usual, and they'll say all the right things in the media. They probably have their PR people right now writing up the statements right now. Well, we made a bid for this guy, but such and such outbid us, and you know we couldn't part with this guy for the future. I'm so tired of the future word for the Pirates. It's just a stupid word. It should just no Pirate person involved in management or leadership should be able to use that word, because the future has been for 15 years and just doesn't ever happen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. If you use the word future, you're fired.
Yeah, right. There you go. Future and fire, they go right together. Two Fs.
They do.
I like it. All right, on to more pleasant topics. NASCAR, we'll start with that. Tidy up the Brickyard 400. Kyle Larson gets the job done. He only leads 8 laps in the race, you know, but Kyle Larson is Kyle Larson, and the guy wins races when you give him. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. When you give Kyle Larson even just the slightest reprieve, the slightest crack in the door, opportunity, whatever you want to call it, he will take advantage, because he's just world class and maybe the best driver on the planet. And he did it here. He only led 8 laps. Fuel mileage was an issue. Lots of chaos at the end. The overtime stuff is just nuts. And he gets the job done. I thought it was really, really bad job, though, by NASCAR to not throw a caution early. I thought we should have had another overtime, but they didn't do it, and they waited for him to kind of clear through, and there was a car on the track, and then you basically eliminated Tyler Reddick from even having a chance to pass him. So bad job again by NASCAR. I thought they've botched several of these late lap overtimes throughout the season. But what were your thoughts? Obviously, we had good picks with Reddick up there and in contention, and we did all right there, but still can't get a guy home to victory lane in NASCAR.
I know. It's so hard. It is just so hard. But I thought the racing was good. I love them being back at the Brickyard. Please do not take that away.
Right.
I thought it looked great. But, you know, a couple of things pissed me off. So I had my earbuds in when they were at the end of the race, when they threw the red flag. And I left my room, Matt. And I come back.
And it was off.
And the race is gone.
Yeah. Terrible.
And it doesn't. It does not say, oh, the race moved to USA.
Yep.
It doesn't say anything. It's just the new program is on. And that's it. And I just kept looking around like, all right, man. I guess it's over. And then I checked my phone, and they were still at the at a red flag. And I was like, what the hell?
With wall destruction and everything that they had to fix. And, yeah, terrible job by NBC. Man, they've really botched some stuff. An awful job by them. They didn't have a scroller going on there. They should have been having that immediately on the screen. And God forbid, you know, Joe Biden, he sticks this again with resign or not seeking re-election on a Sunday on a race day. We missed the pre-race stuff. It got delayed, and we didn't even get to see it. It wasn't even on another channel. And then at the end of the race, they move it over to USA because they got a lead with that at the 6 o'clock news. Very frustrating, as usual. But yeah, I thought the race was good. I liked the track. I liked being back out there. I thought it was good. Some kind of good super speedway type feel racing. Your boy Hochevar with a nice finish. He didn't quite get the top 10, but it was a good run. This dude's been really consistent here in the last few weeks. And Todd Gilliland makes another top 10 appearance.
Dude, Gilliland's had a hell of a year. He's just been quiet, and there he is at the end of the day in the top 10, the 38. Yeah. I love it.
And Noah Gragson, another solid run. I was definitely with the issues that people had with gas and things like that, and you had a few wrecks. But one thing I think everybody can agree on is, why are we going to keep putting Jimmy Johnson out there? You mentioned it to me on Sunday. But, like, just do – the guy was an all-time great. Can't he just be remembered for that instead of driving around, limping around on the track in this number 84 Carvana car? I mean, come on.
He's not even near the top 15.
Can't keep speed.
Like, if you had a little son, you say, hey, son, that guy Jimmy Johnson, he won championships 7 times in a row. And say, Dad, you're a liar.
Yes.
No, he didn't. He's in 24th place again.
Yeah, Jimmy's got to go. There's got to be another person. They could put Haley Deegan in that car. It wouldn't be any worse. And she's not got any experience at all. But, yeah, William Byron, tough day for him. With the crash, Logano again gets me. Every time I use this son of a bitch, he has an issue. So NASCAR off for a couple weeks, and then we get back to it at Richmond. Should be a good one there. Always enjoy Richmond. Definitely a track that favors some guys, and some guys absolutely hate it. So we look forward to that here in a couple of weeks as they're on Olympic break. NBC, I guess, just doesn't have enough cameras to be able to have NASCAR because it's really not interrupting their schedule at all with the Olympics being in Europe. It's just simply probably a manpower issue for them, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think that, you know, it seems like this year there have been the most amount of broadcast and production screw-ups from both.
I agree.
And I think Amazon's smart, they are getting every solution possible. Don't do this. Like, they should dominate the broadcast next year. It should be something like we've never seen before, man.
Well, I hope, because I think NASCAR could be some of the absolute best TV if done properly. And it's weird to me. It's like it's gotten worse through time. Like, while they've gotten some good on mic people, some good analysts, their race production is suffered. It was back in the early days of like ESPN. I feel like it was before ESPN turned to what it is now. It was actually really good. Like, they had, you always knew where guys were all the time. You never had breaks where you didn't get to see the action. It's just simple things. But what do we know? On to Indy. They will also be sacrificed for the next couple of weeks for the Olympics.
But
I was able to put another guy in victory lane. We're on a 3-race win here. Colton Herta gets the job done. He leads 81 laps. Kind of dominated this Toronto race course. Kirkwood second. Dixon also had him as a top 3 guy. He ran very well. But, man, this was Herta's from the start, Sam. He basically dominated from start to finish. What were your thoughts about this one?
He seems to every year, Matt, have a race where he just absolutely dominates, and then now I get it back on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And then next week, or, you know, in 3 weeks when they race, he's going to fucking crash out on lap 10 or something.
Yeah, I think you got that nailed perfectly, because you're right. Because every time you think, like, well, you know what, maybe Colton Herta is going to be a championship contender. Maybe. And then this all happens. Just the usual. One thing that did happen that was a little out of ordinary, instead of a crash this week, Stingray Raw with a mechanical failure. So he switched it up on us a little bit.
It's always something for our boy Stingray. And you know what? If he's around next year might be the year that Stingray can sneak into the top 10.
Yeah.
If he's around.
Yeah.
That's a big if.
Speaking of sneaking in the top 10, Rinus VeeKay finally has a a decent run. That's good.
What the hell?
He's been bad, and still Marcus Erickson can just get no momentum. He's really
nothing.
Really an odd situation that he's in right now. He makes the switch over to Andretti, and man, he just went downhill so bad. He's really not even in contention each week. So I don't know. We are off again. Like we said, we're off this week, and then we go to Gateway here in a couple of weeks. And then on to the one racing circuit that we do still have going on, and ironically, it is in Europe along with the Olympics. So we will be at the Belgian Grand Prix, which right now F1 has so much to offer us after another, you can't call it stunning anymore. McLaren gets into the top spot on the podium. They get double podium finishes. You had the McLaren team pegged, but you picked the wrong driver, but it was a damn good pick anyway. Lando finishes second, Piastri on top, Lewis Hamilton in third, and Max Verstappen all the way down in fifth place. Can you believe this, Sam? Three in a row, Max has not won.
I know. I'm almost getting used to it now. You know, like if he wins again, I'm going to be a little upset. But I think we talked a couple weeks ago that McLaren's issue now is this strategy that they've figured out how to get up into the top three of when to do certain things, right. The pits, these maneuvers, and they've proved again that they're still not where they need to be because that was awkward.
Yes.
It was just weird. And that's how you like slowly have these drivers butt heads.
Oh,
like,
no
not
doubt.
Even something that they caused, but they'd have to deal with the consequences of that decision.
Yeah. The team did not do those guys any favors. I thought it was going to turn out a lot worse than it did. And it actually worked out okay. But we've been saying for a while, Piastri has been knocking on the door. This guy's shown incredible improvement. And I'm not going to go as far to say that he's going to surpass Lando, but it wouldn't surprise me if he turns out to be the number one driver in that camp here sooner than later, or they just have two dead even guys who are going to continue to get, on the top spot in the podium on a regular basis. Ferrari, they were the typical Ferrari. One car was okay. The other car was pretty good. And then Lewis Hamilton, I thought, ran a pretty good race. George Russell still, his consistency still worries me. What were your thoughts on Mercedes and Ferrari?
Yeah, Mercedes is starting to, at least Lewis aside, they're starting to look pretty consistent. I think some regret may be creeping in.
Yeah.
Leaving because
they figured it out.
Yeah, they finally figured it out. And you before the season started, you already were shipping yourself out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, like the team that you're going to, man, they do not have the momentum that you guys have right now.
No, they don't. And it's funny you say that because when you would say like last year, it was Red Bull, it was Ferrari for the most part. Obviously, Red Bull with a significant gap to Ferrari. But now you're seeing where, honestly, it's McLaren followed by Mercedes only because Red Bull only has one car, really. And then you got Ferrari who just seems to be at the same spot they were at last year. And now you got two teams that have surpassed them. So Ferrari definitely trending downward. Not that they're terrible, but they're not finding that extra gear, so to speak, as McLaren and Mercedes are.
It's weird that it's pretty much a 2v1 right now. You know, the McLarens versus Max, the Ferraris versus Max, Mercedes versus Max. And I think that that's probably going to weigh on him down the stretch. Because seriously, Sergio Perez is in a rut. And I think he finished second in both these races the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
He had a strong seventh last week. I mean, for him, right. That's good now.
That's the best
finish he's had in a month, 2 months, really. He outfinished George Russell, which probably won't happen again. And then it's just so interesting when you look at the Belgian Grand Prix, the odds board, and you see Max Verstappen is not favored. And it's just amazing to see it on paper. Lando Norris right now installed as the +125 favorite, followed by Max at 2-1, and then Piastri at 5-1. I mean, it's just stunning. Like it shouldn't be stunning to me, but it kind of is. Lewis Hamilton around 11 or 12-1, along with George Russell also around 11 or 12. Man, I don't know, Sam. Like, is it gotten to the point where there's now the buyback option on Verstappen? Like, is he going to come with a full head of steam and try to take these guys out? Or the fact that he doesn't have any type of help from his teammate going to continue to, affect him negatively?
I think that Max is going to come with a full head of steam, but it's just going to be spinning his tires.
Right.
I almost view it kind of like, you ever seen like a hawk like take down like a squirrel or something, and yeah. all these other little birds just keep yeah. going in at it?
Yeah.
It's like at a certain point, you can only take so much of it.
Sure.
You know, you're just going to – something's going to happen. So I think that that's just what's going to happen over these races is he's just going to have so many people consistently coming at him that he just can't take it, I guess.
Yeah. Now, going back to last year's race, as you mentioned, Sergio Perez finished second here last 2 years. Verstappen won the races. So Red Bull has ran 1-2, 1-2 the last 2 years here, followed by Ferrari in both cases, each Ferrari driver, the third place finish in that two-year period. Now, Oscar Piastri did not get a lot of time on this track last year, which worries me a tad. He crashed on the first lap, if you remember. He was out of the race immediately. Him and Carlos Sainz both out pretty quickly on in that one. So does that work against him this time? Does that make Lando the clear-cut favorite in the race? Man, where are you going here? I'm conflicted here. I want to pick Verstappen, but also don't want this McLaren run to end.
I don't either. I'm deciding between Lewis Hamilton and Lando Norris.
Okay.
Lewis's momentum has just been odd to me. It's been odd of like when he was dominant Lewis. I love it. Something happened in these last couple of weeks with the 44 car and their team that they seem to be gelling together. And I think that Lewis and Lando are just going to be dominant drivers once again.
Yeah. I can't go against you there. I really can't. I would say those two guys got to be the favorites in my opinion. I actually probably would have Lewis Hamilton a little bit shorter of a price than 12-1. I think there's some good value on him. I don't see a whole lot of difference between the McLarens and the Mercedes, maybe a little bit faster if they get out to the front. So most likely, in your opinion, double podium for McLaren. Do you think that happens again this week?
Yes.
Okay. I tend to agree with you because I just don't. I'm still a little bit worried about George Russell. Like he just,
yeah.
He's solid, but just solid enough. He had a fourth year and a sixth year last year. He's missing a little bit for me. So I don't know. I could see this maybe being a week where we see a Red Bull, McLaren, Mercedes, one of each on the podium. I could see that, but I agree with you. If it's going to be anybody with a double podium, it's going to be them. McLaren for sure. Anybody else under the radar that you think could sneak in? Lance Stroll, of course. He was 11th here 2 years ago, 9th here last year. Any of these guys interest you? Yuki Tsunoda, anybody from the Alpine team, which they did not perform very well last week.
No.
I don't know. Any underdog type picks that you can find any value in?
So I wrote Stroll and Esteban Ocon in the top 10, but I'm also looking right here at the first driver retirement numbers. And Lance Stroll, he has a plus 1,800 on Bet Rivers.
Ooh.
And I love that number.
Okay.
And somebody's retiring from the race. But like Logan Sargeant, I see he's like a plus 1,100. That's too easy.
yeah. For
you know, that's too easy. But like Stroll is at a plus 1,800. They can get like 14 to 18.
Okay.
And Esteban, the guy I just brought up, his highest is a plus 19. It's just, it seems like one of those two. They're either going to be in 10th or 11th or DNF.
I like it. That's the kind of stuff we're looking to give people here on Better's Last Stand. We got to think outside the box, and I like that a lot. Lance Stroll, he just get literally out on a stroll through the park, and maybe yep. this time he'll miss his shift and something will go wrong. But we had two retirees from each of the last two races in Belgium, so why not? Let's go for it. And it's been, two marquee cars. It was even, I guess Valtteri Bottas 2 years ago. What is the latest in your mind on Carlos Sainz? Like, where's this dude going to end up? Like, it's just so odd. They keep, like, talking like he's got his mind made up or he knows where the hell can he go?
I don't know because none of these teams, like, the teams that are available, they're not great.
Right.
So this is either going to just be like a huge step back or it's going to turn into like what happened to Bottas this year. And it's just going to be an absolute embarrassment because honestly, who can he drive for?
Right.
I know that Audi's doing a team in 2026, but he's not going to take a year off.
No.
Is he going to go drive for like Logan Sargeant's seat? Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I would like – he would definitely provide a little bit of value towards the back end, you know, taking the Williams car to you know, beat some of these other smaller teams. He might have a chance, but he's not going to contend for points finishes. I mean, he's just not going to be able to. And I don't think the guy's that terrible of a driver.
No, I don't either. It's just, I don't really know where do you put him.
No, I'm with you. How many more years does Fernando Alonso have left in him? How long is he?
I don't know, but he gets paid. Sauber, Ferrari, Alpine, right. Williams, Haas. They are all, like, if you were to say, hey, Sam, these are your only options to sign, sure. I would just throw a dart. They're all the same. They're all the same.
They're all, yeah, they're all in the uncontenders, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the bottom feeders.
Yeah. All right. Anything else going on sports-wise? Well, no, without the two other circuits, it's a little bit weird. Were you watching any of the Olympics this week?
I love the Olympics. Me anything too. That's on, anything competitive, I'll throw it on. Ping pong, break dancing, yeah, equestrian. Count me in.
Yeah, I was watching some rugby sevens this morning as they started that up at the group play. And, yeah, it's pretty catchy stuff. It's nice to get a little change of pace from the same stuff we see every day that becomes kind of monotonous to us sports fans.
Hey, I've been saying it. I'm going to keep hammering it home. Team USA will not win the gold. They will not.
Yeah.
There's no way.
So let's stay on that for a second. So I was saying that earlier on the show. I thought maybe France was the most interesting one at around 13-14-1 with the, you know, with the bigs they got with Wemby and Gobert. I figured that could cause some problems. They barely beat Germany the other day. You and I watched the South Sudan game together, 43-point favorite, and they could barely win, and they probably should have been called for a foul at the end of that game. Who to you? Canada's the second choice at 9-1, but I don't know if I trust them. Between Canada, France, Germany, Serbia, who do you think could dethrone the USA?
I'm saying, honestly, either Germany or maybe Canada. I think France is too young.
That's possible.
And too inexperienced.
Yep, good point.
But I think Canada or, yeah, honestly, probably Canada would be a better the best option out of those teams.
Yeah, I think USA being -$6 favorite to win it all is insane. But we'll see. We'll see how things are officiated and how it goes. How about over on the women's side? I want to try to make a case for another one of these countries, but on the women's side, I just don't think it's possible. Even if the USA plays bad, the only team that could really beat them was the WNBA All-Stars the other night.
Yeah, and they're not obviously in the Olympics, so sure. That doesn't really matter. I think they should easily run away with it.
Yeah,
it should be an absolute showing of the dominance of USA women's basketball.
Yeah, they're just the depth hasn't got to the women's side of things like it has in the men's. So yeah, I agree. The 3-on-3 basketball to me was really interesting. I enjoyed that since they've added it in. USA men or USA women a small favorite. USA men the second choice behind Serbia. Have you watched any of that in the last Olympics? The 3-on-3, it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, less people, more action. I love.
Right.
You know?
Yep. And it shows you get a lot more fundamental basketball played at the 3-on-3. You know, it's just not wide open space where you're going up and down the floor because you're compacted on that small court and you got a lot of screening, a lot of good ball movement, and, you know, big guys who can step out and shoot the ball and stuff. So I look forward to that as well. So should be a good one. Anything else on the radar? What about the Buccos this weekend as they head out on a road trip? What are your thoughts?
You need to get 2 out of 3 each series. I mean, these teams are good, man.
Right.
Houston is no joke, and AZ is absolutely no joke.
Sure. Yep.
So absolutely. This is the real test. I mean, this is it, man.
You're right. Let's see if they can convince management to be buyers here with a good road trip,
know.
Maybe.
That's the hope. Do you think, Matt, the next time that we talk, there will be an addition to the Pittsburgh Pirates?
I think there will be a token addition. It'll be some bum like Tommy Pham or somebody that just.
Oh,
not
I hope
help.
Not. God, yeah. I hope not.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think there'll be any move the needle type guys. They keep saying Rooker, and I just don't think that somebody else is going to outbid them.
I
for
don't
him.
Want him.
Yeah, he's never done anything until this year anyway. And he's on a bad team. Wait till he gets where he's gonna, you know, actually be in a decent lineup. I don't think he'll. I think people will pay a little more attention to him, and I don't think he's going to be as good as everybody thinks. So, yeah, they probably don't want to sell out for a guy like that. But, no, I think it'll be a token play at best, and we'll hear the word future too much here in the coming weeks. But anyway, Sam, thanks as always for the insight and analysis. Best of luck to you and your Buccos. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Good talking to you. Go Bucs.
You as well, buddy. All right, that's Sam, the man from Upper St. Clair. That's going to do it for us today. Better's Last Stand, show number 93, Pine Room Studios, downtown Wheeling. Again, brought to you by The Brownie House. Visit yesbrownies.com today. Use promo code PINEROOM for 20% off of your order. Lots of stuff going on here. Olympics in full swing coming up on the weekend. I'm excited about that. We'll have some plays. Hopefully I'll get some futures up for you tomorrow and some of the events that I like. Enjoy it. Enjoy the games. Switch it up a little bit. You got betting markets on all this stuff now. Study up, get some picks, have a little fun with it, and get your mind off of the monotony of baseball and these other things going on right now as you head towards football. So enjoy these 2 weeks. It's nice and refreshing to see good, spirited competition in different types of games where officials don't make an impact as much and things like that. So. And the athletes actually behave like civilized beings. So I will enjoy it. Hope you do too. Check out BLS_PRP for all the latest picks from this show and across all the Pine Room platforms, pineroomstudios.com. Get on there today. Check out the blogs. Jeff just put one out today. So we got plenty going on. We will be on the radio Friday. Tune in and be back with the regular scheduled shows all week next week. It's Better's Last Stand Show 93 signing off. Have a great weekend. Best of luck with your wagers.